Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama. Bhaktiya Tvananyaya Shakya Ahamevam Vidurjana Gyatam Drashtam Chatatvena Praveshtam Cha Parantata. Translation. My dear Arjuna, only by undivided devotional service can I be understood as I am, standing before you, and can thus be seen directly. Only in this way can you enter into the mysteries of my understanding. Let us repeat this responsively. My dear Arjuna, only by undivided devotional service can I be understood as I am, standing before you, and can thus be seen directly. Only in this way can you enter into the mystery of my understanding. Yes, this is a nice verse in Bhagavad Gita, and it has rather a long thought, so just please try and listen carefully and bear with us. So Srila Prabhupada comments. Krishna can be understood only by the process of undivided devotional service. He explicitly explains this in this verse. So that unauthorized commentators who try to understand Bhagavad Gita by the speculative process will know that they're simply wasting their time. No one can understand Krishna or how he came from parents in a four-handed form and at once changed himself into a three-handed form. These things are very difficult to understand by study of the Vedas or by philosophical speculation. Therefore, it is clearly stated here that no one can see him or enter into understanding of these matters. Those who, however, are very experienced students of Vedic literature can learn about him from the Vedic literatures in so many ways. There are so many rules and regulations. And if one at all wants to understand Krishna, he must follow the regulative principles described in the authoritative literature. One can perform penance in accordance with those principles. For example, to undergo serious penances, one may observe fasting on Janmashtami, the day on which Krishna appears, and on the 2 days of Ekadasi, the 11th day after the new moon and the 11th day after the full moon. As far as charity is concerned, it is plain that charity should be given to the devotees of Krishna, who are engaged in his devotional service to spread the Krishna philosophy or Krishna consciousness throughout the world. Krishna consciousness is a benediction to humanity. Lord Chaitanya was appreciated by Rupa Goswami as the most munificent man of charity, because love of Krishna, which is very difficult to achieve, was distributed freely by him. So if one gives some amount of his money to persons involved in distributing Krishna consciousness, that charity given to spread Krishna consciousness is the greatest charity in the world. And if one worships as prescribed in the temple, in the temples in India, there's always some statue, usually of Vishnu or Krishna. That is a chance to progress by offering worship and respect to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. For the beginners in devotional service to the Lord, temple worship is essential. And this is confirmed in the Vedic literature, Sri Ashtapadi Upanishad 6.23. Yasya deve parava kya yata deve sakagaro tasya te katita jasa katashan te mahasana. One who has unflinching devotion for the Supreme Lord and is directed by the spiritual master in whom he has similar unflinching faith can see the Supreme Personality of Godhead by revelation. One cannot understand Krishna by mental speculation. The one who does not take personal training under the guidance of a bona fide spiritual master, it is impossible to even begin to understand Krishna. The word truth is specifically used here to indicate that no other process can be used, can be recommended, or can be successful in understanding Krishna. The personal forms of Krishna, the two-handed form and the four-handed, are completely different from the temporary universal form shown to Arjuna. The four-handed form of Narayan and the two-handed form of Krishna are eternal and transcendental, whereas the universal form exhibited to Arjuna is temporary. The very word sudurdarshan, meaning difficult to see, suggests that no one had seen that universal form. It also suggests that amongst the devotees, there was no necessity of showing it. That form was exhibited by Krishna at the request of Arjuna, so that in the future when one represents himself as an incarnation of God, people can ask to see his universal form. The word na, used repeatedly in the previous verse, indicates that one should not be very much proud of such credentials as an academic education in Vedic literature. One must take to the devotional service of Krishna. Only then can one attempt to write commentaries on Bhagavad Gita. Krishna changes from the universal form to the four-handed form of Narayana, and then to his own natural form of two hands. This indicates that the four-handed forms and other forms mentioned in Vedic literature are all emanations of the original two-handed Krishna. He is the origin of all emanations. Krishna is distinct even from these forms, not to speak of the impersonal conception. As far as the four-handed forms of Krishna are concerned, it is stated clearly that even the most identical four-handed form of Krishna, which is known as Mahavishnu, whose lying on the cosmic ocean, and from whose breathing so many innumerable universes are passing out and entering, is also an expansion of the Supreme Lord. As stated in Brahma Samhita 5.48, this yaika nishva sita kala matavalam ya divanti nama vilaja jagadandana ha vishnu mahan sa iha yasya kala vise so govinda nari purisham tamaham vajami, which means the Mahavishnu, into whom all the innumerable universes enter and from whom they come forth again, simply by his breathing process, is a plenary extension of Krishna. With our worship Govinda, Krishna, the cause of all things. Therefore one should conclusively worship the personal form of Krishna as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who has eternal bliss and knowledge. He is the source of all forms of Vishnu. He is the source of all forms of incarnation, and he is the original Supreme Personality of Godhead, as confirmed in Bhagavad Gita. In the Vedic literature, Gopal Kapani Upanishad 1.1, the following statement appears. Satchidananda Rupaya Krishnaya Krishnakarine Namo Vedanta Vedyaya Guru Vay Buddhi Shakshine. After my respectful obeisances unto Krishna, who has a transcendental form of bliss, eternity, and knowledge, after my respects to him, because understanding him means understanding the Vedas, and therefore he is the supreme spiritual master. Then it is said, Krishna vai paramam daivatam. Krishna is the supreme personality of Godhead. Gopal Kapani 1.3. Does this help or is it not necessary? Maybe, then I'll just hold it. But this is not. No, I'll hold it. Can you just hold it up? That one Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and he is worshipable. Ekopisan Bahuda Yo Baba, he, Krishna is one, but he has manifested in unlimited forms and expanded incarnation. Gopal Kapani 1.21. The Brahma Samhita 5.1 says, Ishvara Parama Krishna Satchidananda Vigraha Anadiyadi Govinda Sarvakarana Karana. The Supreme Personality of Godhead is Krishna. He has a form of eternity, knowledge, and bliss. He has no beginning, for he is the beginning of everything. He is the cause of all causes. Elsewhere it is said, Yatravatyanam Krishna Sam Param Brahma Narasati. The Supreme Absolute Truth is a person whose name is Krishna, and he sometimes descends on this earth. Similarly, in the Srimad Bhagavatam, we find a description of all kinds of incarnations of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And in this list, the name of Krishna also appears. But then it is said that this Krishna is not an incarnation of God, but is the original Supreme Personality of Godhead himself. Eti Changsa Kalatim Sa Krishna's Food Bhagavan Swayam. Similarly, in Bhagavad Gita, the Lord says, Mata Paratram Nanyat, there is nothing superior to my form as the personality of Godhead Krishna. He also says elsewhere in Bhagavad Gita, Aham Adiya Hi Devanam. I am the origin of all the demigods. And after understanding Bhagavad Gita from Krishna, Arjuna also confirms this in the following words. Param Brahma Param Dharma Pavitram Paramam Bhavan. I now fully understand that you are the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the Absolute Truth, and that you are the refuge of everything. Therefore the universal form which Krishna showed to Arjuna is not the original form of God. The original is the Krishna form, the universal form with its thousands and thousands of heads and hands, is manifest just to draw the attention of those who have no love for God. It is not God's original form. The universal form is not attractive for pure devotees. They are in love with the Lord in different transcendental relationships. The Supreme Godhead exchanges transcendental love in his original form of Krishna. Therefore, to Arjuna, who is so intimately related with Krishna in friendship, this form of the universal manifestation was not pleasing. Rather, it was fearful. Arjuna, who was a constant companion of Krishna, must have had transcendental eyes. He was not an ordinary man. Therefore, he was not captivated by the universal form. This form may seem wonderful to persons who are involved in elevating themselves by fruitive activity, but to persons who are engaged in devotional service, the two-handed form of Krishna is the most dear. My dear Arjuna, only by undivided devotional service can I be understood as I am, standing before you, and can thus be seen directly. Only in this way can you enter into the mysteries of my understanding. Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadha Jiva Sri Gaura Bhaktivinoda Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So, this is the chapter in which Lord Krishna reveals his universal form to Arjuna, and by doing so, astonishes Arjuna, and even more really than astonishes him, but actually he overwhelms him completely to the point that Arjuna lost his composure and his mental stability altogether and became just hopeless, practically hopeless. He didn't know what to do, and he was pleading with Krishna, "Please withdraw this form and show me again your original form." So Krishna has in fact just done that. He has withdrawn that universal form and is now showing again the two-handed form. Sri Sri Nitai Gaura Hare Ki. That was too much for Arjuna. Elsewhere, Srila Prabhupada comments that because Arjuna was such a powerful man and able to take so much in terms of strain and tension like this, he was able to tolerate so much difficulty, even extreme difficulty, without becoming affected. So elsewhere, Srila Prabhupada comments that because Arjuna was so strong in his mind, that at least he did not die when he saw the universal form. Others who might have been less strong would have expired out of shock and just too much for the mind and the nervous system. But
I do know at least he survived, although Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakura comments that Arjuna's experience when he saw the universal form, he says, was something like when a person has a heart attack. I don't know if any of you have experienced that. We hope not. But we understand that this is truly a very devastating experience, not to be taken lightly at all. Yes, but he survived, although it was very, very difficult. And if Krishna had actually maintained that revelation, continued that revelation to Arjuna any longer, then perhaps Arjuna, it would have, of course, got worse. So who knows what would have happened to him. Yes. But that form, then Krishna withdrew that form. And first, after he withdrew that form, the universal form, first, then the four-handed form, then finally, the two-handed form. So in other words, this is showing, Prabhupada explains in the first one, that all these other forms, they're actually coming from the two-handed form. That is the original form. And finally, in the verse immediately prior to this verse that we've read this evening, then Lord Krishna talks about how difficult or unusual it is that people may see this two-handed form. Yes. Na ham vedaya, na tapasa, na dhanena, na chajaya, shakya evam vidorajastram, vistavan asimam yataha. Krishna says that this form that you are seeing now, that means the two-handed form of Krishna holding the flute, this form cannot be seen by studying the Vedas, nor by executing severe austerities and penances, nor by giving charity, nor by worship. It is not by these means that one can understand me as I am. So then, how can one understand Krishna as he actually is? This verse that we are reading this evening is explaining that. Krishna is explaining that here. Bhaktya tvamanyaya satya. Only by ananya bhakti. Ananya. Anya means other. Ananya means no other. By no other process than bhakti. Pure devotional service. Pure, loving devotional service to Lord Krishna. By no other process can one see Krishna as he is. Only by that process can one understand Krishna as he is. And Krishna says here, thus you can see me directly, standing before you. Only in this way can you enter into the transcendental mysteries of my understanding. So this is a very deep subject. This is a very deep subject. Coming to know God personally. We all know that in this material world, to come to know some very important person is not easy. Srila Prabhupada often talked about this, how if you want to see the prime minister, the president of a country, even a small country like South Africa, very small country. So if you want to see the president of this country, isn't that so easy? perhaps by some good fortune, we might meet the president of this country. But what is this country? This country is nothing, really, when we consider that this planet is one of the smallest planets in the universe. This universe is one of the smallest universes. There are an unlimited number of material universes. Well, our universe, we only have a four-headed Brahma. You may know that in the story of the Brahma Vimohana Leela, where Lord Brahma became bewildered by Krishna, Brahma was thinking, he was very important. Here I am, the four-headed Brahma. Where is there another four-headed person in this universe? But then Krishna called the other Brahmas. There are Brahmas with 10 heads. The number of heads is proportionate to the dimensions of the universe. So 10 heads means 2.5 times as big a universe. Then there are Brahmas with 100 heads, 25 times bigger. There are Brahmas with 1,000 heads, 10,000, 100,000, 1,000,000 heads, 1,000,000,000 heads, 1,000,000,000,000 heads, tens of trillions of heads. By the time it got to that point, I think before the time it got to that point, Lord Brahma had already got the message that he's not so important, not so big. So then all he could do was offer his obeisances to Krishna. So our universe is like that in the material creation. And Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, in fact at the end of the previous chapter, 10th chapter, Krishna says that this universe, not this universe, this whole material creation springs from just a spark of my splendor. With a single fragment of myself, I maintain and sustain this entire creation. So when we talk in terms of scale, to be president of South Africa is well down the scale, actually. Not to speak of being your ordinary Mr. or Mrs. South African, forgotten souls, paying most heavy the illusion's tolls, as Prabhupada said. So, but even to see the president of such a small and insignificant, actually, inconsequential place as South Africa, if that is quite difficult, very difficult even, then to see Krishna, to see the Supreme Personality of Godhead, oh, we cannot imagine. We cannot imagine what that is like. But it can be done. It can be done. Even though otherwise it would appear to be impossible. But the impossible becomes possible by the mercy of Krishna. This is pointed out in Chaitanya Charitamrita. That by the mercy of Lord Chaitanya, a blind man can see the stars in the sky. A lame man can climb mountains. And a child can understand the conclusive truths of the Vedic literatures. These things, of course, otherwise, or generally, would not at all be possible. I was thinking about this yesterday, just briefly. We were sitting in the airport in Moscow, in Russia, yesterday. It was -3 degrees. A and its orphan there. And that was 2 or 3 in the afternoon. So, anyway, there we were. And one plane came in, and we were sitting there, and the people came off that plane and then carried on to enter the country. So there we were, and we were sitting, and the police lady who was, you know, the security person there, trying, making sure nothing went wrong, there's like a corridor coming from the plane up to the terminal, and there's a door at the end coming into the terminal. So everyone came off, and she locked the door. It was a glass door. You could see through. Then a few minutes later, one main person came. It took them a few minutes to get up the corridor. Only 30 or 40 meters, perhaps, or less. But it took maybe 5 minutes for this person to come up. And then the policewoman had to come running back and open the door, and being a Russian police person, got very uptight. And this lame lady kind of hobbled away with one or two walking sticks. And I was just thinking of this verse that we've just referred to. By the mercy of Lord Chaitanya, a lame person can climb mountains. When I saw that lame person, when I thought about climbing mountains, Mount Everest, perhaps, or just any table mountain, climbing Table Mountain like that. Now that's something. Actually, it may not happen. The person may not be able to do it. Not very likely. So, this verse is saying that by the mercy of Lord Chaitanya, if that mercy is there in these things, which are otherwise impossible, they can be done. And by the same token, by the mercy of Krishna, then one can see Krishna face to face and meet Krishna. But without the mercy of Krishna, then you cannot just impose yourself. Just like if you want to go and see the president, you cannot just impose yourself. You'll get into serious trouble. You'll just be evicted or something like that. Yes, so it is not at all an easy thing. But by the mercy of Krishna, it is possible. Then that verse goes on to explain that without the mercy of Lord Chaitanya, even easy things become impossible. Even very easy things. And there's one story which comes to mind. Some of you will be familiar with it. That is the story of Keshav Kashmiri. He was a very puffed-up scholar. He used to go around debating with other scholars and defeating them and then proclaiming his glories, broadcasting how he had defeated this one and that one and how he was like the greatest of all the scholars around. This was his business in life. So he came to Navadvip because Navadvip was famous as a center for learning. He came to Navadvip. Suddenly, when they heard he was coming, all the scholars, suddenly, they had very urgent appointments out of town. They just had to drop everything and go be back later. All except Lord Chaitanya. So this Keshav Kashmiri came, and he was very proud of his knowledge. And so, in a very arrogant way, He came up to Lord Chaitanya, who was only 16 or 17, but he had a Sanskrit school. So he came up to Lord Chaitanya and said, "Oh, you are Nimai Pandit. I have heard of you. You are said to be a good teacher of beginner's Sanskrit." That was, the way he was. So Lord Chaitanya, being very nice and very astute at the same time, he was just very humble. But yes, I teach a little Sanskrit, but I know I'm not like you. I've heard of you. And the man said, "Yes, you're right." So then the man, Keshav Kashmir, said, "I would like to debate with you and show you. I will show you what real learning is about." So on the spot, he composed 100 verses in glorification of Mother Ganges. On the spot, while reciting them. And it was described in Chaitanya Charitamrita that he recited them just like the blowing of the wind. Tempestuous. So then he asked Lord Chaitanya, "So what do you think of that?" Lord Chaitanya said that apart from all the mistakes, I thought it was very nice. And the man said, "What do you mean apart from all the mistakes? There were no mistakes there." Then Lord Chaitanya repeated one verse from the 100, just one verse. He repeated the verse perfectly and pointed out some faults in it. And that is described in Chaitanya Charitamrita. One fault was that Keshav Kashmiri described Lord Shiva as Bhavani Bhautu. Bhava is Lord Shiva. Bhavani is Durga, the wife of Lord Shiva. And Bhautu means the husband. So Bhavani Bhautu means the husband of the wife of Lord Shiva. In other words, it sounds like Durga has two husbands. There are some other mistakes in that verse also, but that one I recall. So Keshav Kashmiri realized, yes, he's right. Oh, I didn't even notice that. And he started to become doubtful, a little doubtful, about himself. Maybe I'm not quite what I think I am. But he thought, no, don't worry about it. Just carry on with the debate. So then he tried to carry on with the debate. He started trying to speak some philosophy. Out came mumbo jumbo. Just some noise came out of his mouth. Just like if I started speaking to you in Russian. Which I don't know much of, but I know more than you do probably. It would sound like Mumbo Jumbo. Chakvaya root. What is your name? Chakvaya. How are you? And so on. So it just sounds like some noises, and we cannot relate to it. So from Keshav Kashmiri's mouth came these noises, and he was horrified, and everyone was taken aback. They were looking at him. Then he thought, some technical error there. I'll try again. So again he tried to say something. Out came some more nonsense, and everyone started laughing. So, by the mercy of Lord Chaitanya, or, in this case, without the mercy of Lord Chaitanya, even the easiest thing to speak. We all speak. Most people speak, a lot of people, or some people speak too much. So it is not that we generally have difficulty speaking. But without the mercy of Lord Chaitanya, even that easiest thing can just become impossible. So finally Keshav Kashmiri was struck dumb. He could not speak. He just sat there silent. Because he didn't have the mercy of Lord Chaitanya. But by the mercy, with the mercy of Lord Chaitanya, then even impossible things can become easy. Just like there's another story, which again many of you would be familiar with. The one traveling mendicant came to stay at Lord Chaitanya's parents' house. Lord Chaitanya's father was Jagannath Mishra. So that traveling devotee came to stay there for the night, and he cooked in the afternoon, late afternoon, he cooked his meal. He had a little Ladu Gopal deity. He put the different preparations on the plate, put it in front of Ladu Gopal, bowed down to chant the mantras in his mind. He was thinking, "Oh my Lord, please accept my offering." He looked up. There was little Lord Chaitanya, eating straight off the plate, with both hands, right hand, left hand, and just having a great old time. And this poor devotee, of course, he didn't understand, but he thought that, oh, what a terrible mishap. Somehow, the Lord is not accepting my offering. It is becoming contaminated by this little boy. Oh no. So he asked Lord Chaitanya, "What are you doing?" Lord Chaitanya looked at him and said, "What do you mean, what am I doing? You called me here." And the man said, "Oh no, do we have an atheist here? Some pretender?" Anyway, then Jagannath Mishra came and told Lord Chaitanya off and appealed to the devotee, "Please cook again. We will lock this naughty boy in his room, and don't worry, everything will be fine." So he again cooked, again he did the offering, again he was bowing down. This time he's in some anxiety, "Oh my Lord, please, please, please don't refuse my offering. Please." And he looked up. Here was Lord Chaitanya, left hand. Great. He was loving it. And, the poor man. "What are you doing? This is terrible." Lord Chaitanya said, "Listen. You keep calling me, sir." So then Jagannath Mishra, Lord Chaitanya's father, came and, "Oh, he got so angry." He said, "Don't you worry, you cook again. We'll take this boy to our relative's place on the other side of town, and we'll lock him in there and place guards all around the place." So they did. Sri Sri Nidhar Gora Hari Ki. And we'll just carry on and finish in a minute or two. And the devotee cooked again and put the offering on the plate and put the plate in front of his Madhu Gopal and bowed down and chanted the mantras, and this time he really prayed, "My Lord, I am so sinful, what a rascal I am, but you please be merciful this time. This time, please. One time you be merciful to me and accept my offering." And he looked up and there was Lord Chaitanya, and the man almost had a nervous breakdown. And Lord Chaitanya said, "Look, you know, what's wrong with you? You keep calling me and then you turn around and complain. Will you stop this?"
Sorry. But the lady said, but I keep praying to the Lord to accept my offering. I can't understand it. But the lady said, oh, you can't understand it? Then he manifested his former Gopal, the cowherd boy. And that devotee fainted in ecstasy. So, he didn't even know he was getting the mercy. But he was getting so much mercy that he didn't even know he was getting any mercy. He thought he was getting some mistreatment or some heavy test or something from the Lord. But he was getting great, very sweet mercy. So, for the devotees who engage nicely in devotional service, or for the non-devotees, they try to do something for their own glorification or whatever, but in due course of time it all falls flat on its face. Someone flies an airplane into their biggest building, anyway, and they realize, you know, we're not as great as we thought we were. Not that we approve of people flying planes into buildings, but, you know, there is some sort of moral there, I'm sure. Yeah. So, they may think they're so important, but when the Lord decides to withdraw the mercy, then suddenly, from being on top of the world, they may fall flat on their face. Without the mercy of Lord Chaitanya. But when the mercy of the Lord is there, then even far beyond our expectations, far beyond even what we thought might be possible, yes, so much mercy will be there. And we can even, as Krishna says here, if we engage in unalloyed devotional service, not getting deviated into anything else, then we can see Krishna as he is, standing before us, and thus we can see him directly, because he has revealed himself to us by his mercy. So let us carry on with our humble attempts in devotional service. Yes. Whatever service, Krishna is not so much worried about whether it is some big, big service, or whether it is some small service. But he is concerned about that unalloyed devotional mood, that unalloyed love. That is what he wants to see. You know the story of Hanuman and the spider, I assume. They were building that bridge to Lanka. Hanuman and the big, strong monkeys were carrying boulders and mountain peaks and all these huge things, throwing them into the sea. They were floating in this way. The bridge was coming. And there was one devotee spider. He thought, right! This is important. We are going to get into this devotional service. He was carrying grains of sand and throwing them a few centimeters or something. And Hanuman was running up and down and almost stepping on him and having to watch out. And after a while, Hanuman told him, look, you know, it's nice that you want to help, but if you want to help, then don't. Just keep out of the way, that's all. Then we'll really help. And then we can get on with the real service. It's okay, don't worry. So Lord Ram came and he chastised Hanuman. You think your service is so great? But I appreciate this spider's service as much as yours. Namely, so don't you be like that. So you shouldn't worry if there's some important devotee or just one like the general body of devotees, it doesn't matter at all. But whatever service we get coming in the bona fide line of authority, as you Prabhupada said, that whatever service you get coming through the proper channel of authority, Prabhupada said, you should take this, you can take this, that Krishna himself personally wants you to do this. It is not just that they couldn't find someone to suit the floor, and you just happened to be in the wrong place at the wrong time. And then they saw, oh, some lowly character just walked by. It has just grabbed him. Doesn't matter. You can't be doing anything important. No, it doesn't work like that. But actually Krishna is thinking, watching you and thinking, what service can I get him or her to do? And then he arranges through the devotees, you get that service. So when a service comes our way in that bona fide line, let us do that with our heart and soul, really dedicate ourselves to doing it as nicely as we can, with real care and attention, for the pleasure of Krishna, not for our glorification so people think we're very clever, something like that. Not like that. But just to please Krishna as nicely as possible. And in that mood of doing it for Krishna, Krishna will notice. And in due course of time, just like with that traveling devotee, in due course of time the Lord will reveal himself. It's a fact. It's actually a